We're good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again this evening. Thank you for being here. And let's turn to Psalms 19, I think. I think we'll start in verse 7, read through verse 9. I think. Y'all ready? Psalms 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Father, once again, we just present ourselves to you. Ask, Lord, that you'd use us for your glory and help us all, Lord, to receive from you this day in Jesus' name. Everybody said that wasn't what I was going to ask. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I was. Anyway, in the New Living Translation, that same scripture says this: the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. Kind of makes it a little bit plainer, I would think. Says the same thing, only in a different way. But the scriptures here speak of the nature and the benefits and value of God's law and God's word. God's law is God's word. And I know in the Old Testament we had the Ten Commandments. I don't think I'll turn over there and read them all, but we know the Ten Commandments. I can't quote them all, but I can get some of them. I don't study them real. I don't memorize like I should, or probably don't remember like I ought to anymore. Maybe never have. But anyway, memorization is tough sometimes. But let's look at this for just a few moments. I won't keep you too awful long. Hope it's not awful. I won't keep you too long, and I hope it's not awfully long time to you. But let's look at this for just a few minutes. The law of the Lord is perfect, it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul or converting the soul. God's revealed word directs a person in the right direction or right relation to Jesus Christ and to God. The law of the Lord, this word of God, will direct you in the right direction. Sometimes we go through life and we come up with some questions for God, and we just don't quite understand a few things, but the word of God says that his law will direct you in the right direction. So it will reveal to you God's will for your life. Now, it's difficult sometimes when you need a specific word. You're going through something specific and you're saying, well, God, I need to hear from you. I need a direct word from you. Your sheep know your voice and I'm one of your sheep, so I want to hear your voice directly to me. And I want to hear it. I want to hear you tell me what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. But the word of God says here that it's perfect and it revives the soul, or it converts the soul. The Lord's need, we need the word of God in our lives. We can't get what God wants for us if we never put it into our hearts or into our mind. We never read it, never see it, never receive it into our minds, so it never can get to our heart. If we never read, get it into our minds, we can't ever get it into our heart. So we need to be into God's word quite a bit. There are benefits for, you know, getting in relationship with God, and his word will direct your path. I read a scripture, I think it's Wednesday night, I don't remember when it is, just recently. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And they are. And so if we get into the Word of God, then God will direct our path, revive our soul, lead us down the a place where we need to be. His law is perfect, it says. And perfect means without blemish, with integrity, undefiled, upright, and whole. So God's Word is without blemish. It's undefiled. It's whole. It's everything you need. It's upright. God won't direct you wrong. His Word will never direct you down the wrong path. Fact is, Jesus said that there's two ways. There's a broad way that leads to destruction, and then there's a narrow way that leads to life. God's Word will always direct you to the narrow gate and the straight way, always. He'll never direct you to go to the broad way and the wide gate that leads to destruction. Never. So God's Word is perfect and whole. Secondly, it says the testimony, the decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. Or the testimony of the Lord is sure, His decrees. His Word testifies of His character. And it testifies of His will. And so the study of God's Word and character would make a person wise. Would you not think so? It'll make you wise if we'll study His Word. Some say, well, I just don't understand it. Well, you know what? There's probably 1,000 different Bibles are on the shelf of different people who have interpreted the Word of God, written commentary about the Word of God, have studied it out much deeper and fuller than you and I have. And so if you can't understand it, find someone you trust and get into the Word. Find out what it says. And if you don't trust those guys for what they've done and what they say, get you a Strong's Concordance. Get you a Vine's Expository Dictionary. And find out what those words mean to you. Find out what the Word means. And rightly divide it for yourself. But the commandments or the decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise even the simple. Are there any, I hesitate to ask this question, but are there any simple people here? Well, I am. I'll admit it. I did something the other day, and I think my wife looked at me and said, well, that's dumber. You're dumber than a box of rocks, wasn't you? That's dumber than a box of rocks. I said, well, I have to agree. But don't tell everybody, and I just did. You ever done that? No, y'all never done nothing like that, have you? Sometimes we're simple in a lot of things. We need to get into the Word of God, learn what it says, and practice it. Do what it says the best you can. So the testimony of the Lord, the decrees of the Lord are true, and they testify to His character and to His will in your life. And so studying God's Word will make you wise. If you're simple, you can become wise in God's Word. He takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That's what He says. And He says, by the foolishness of preaching, people's lives are transformed and changed. So, I guess I'm in the right profession since I'm simple. Come on now. You guys ain't going to laugh at much of nothing, are you? 1 John 5:9 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And He's testified of His Son, it says there. But you know, sometimes we'll take the word of people. And sometimes we'll take the word of anything that's on the internet. And we'll say, well, it was on the internet, so it must be true. Not always. And I fell into this trap last year. I won't fall into it again. Earlier this year, they're already posting that daylight savings was today. I didn't latch on to that one. So I ain't as dumb as you think. So I ain't going there this time. I'm going to make sure everybody else is posting that stuff now. Because I looked at my calendar, I couldn't figure out when it was. Now I found out it's in November. November 1st. Barbara, I ain't taking your word. The testimony of men is true, but God's just more. I'm going to find out from God when it is. I ain't trusting Barbara. She'll get me to say something silly. No. It was on the internet. I thought it must be true. Somebody else posted it. And it's a pretty saying, you know, that little deal. You share it with people. And the pastor what your wife said is true. You're dumber than a box of rocks. It's not till another 2 weeks or whatever. But we trust people's words sometime. And you know what? You can do something good, or maybe make somebody angry. Put it that way. You might make somebody angry. And somebody can walk out here and say something bad about you. And it may not even be true, but people will believe it. They won't check it out and find out whether it's true or not. They say, well, so-and-so, they said that's what he did. He must have done it. Not necessarily. They just got angry about something. So then they spread a lie and some gossip about you. But God's word is true. His precepts are real. And if we'll follow under His steps, we'll be wise. It's sure, trustworthy, steadfast. The commandments of the decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. Then it says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Or the mandates, the commandments of the Lord are right. These are the rules that would define our righteous living, define your life, and define what righteous living really is. You know, people say, well, I don't believe it that way. Have you ever heard them say that? You'll say, well, this is what God said. Well, I don't believe it that way. Well, if that's what God said, and it's very plain, but I don't believe it that way. It's sort of like the same-sex marriage deal. Well, I don't believe it that way. But God made it very plain. He that, you know, sleeps with a man like he would a woman, or a woman with a woman like they would with a man, or with an animal, or any creature, or any living being like that, you shall stone them to death because it's an abomination to me. God didn't say, well, about 2,000 years from now, I'm going to change my mind. He said it's an abomination. You go to Romans 12:1 and you read that chapter, and he says, he talks about it too. And Paul talks about it. God never changed his mind about sexual impurity or sexual purity. He never changed his mind about it. But people say, well, I don't believe it that way. I think we ought to try each other out before we get married. Make sure we're compatible. Huh? It's still sin. But yet they'll say, I think it's all right. I don't believe it that way. I'm just using that. That's a pretty blatant example of what people do and say, you've heard it. I don't believe it that way. I don't believe it. I don't believe God means that. Yes, He does. The statutes, the mandate, the commandments of God, those things that define, that are the definite defining rules of righteous living, they are a joy to the godly. But the unrighteous will try to change them to fit their lifestyle, fit their way of thinking, fit their sinfulness. God never changes to fit our sinfulness. We must change our sinfulness by accepting Christ and making us righteous in God's eyes through the blood of Jesus, and then change our actions, our attitude, our way of living. Because God's statutes, His commandments, are right and bring joy to the godly. Aren't you glad for that? That's cool, isn't it? God's good. Then the commandments of the Lord, the law, the ordinances. Boy, God had a lot of them over in the Old Testament. We couldn't even begin to measure up if we had to go, you know, kill so many cows and sheep and lambs and present it at this time of the year and have this ceremony at this time of the year and cut it a certain way and make sure there's no blemish in it. I mean, all these rules. And the priest had to have on a certain garment at a certain time in a certain way. You couldn't touch a dead body of any kind, or you had to go get cleansed. You had all this stuff. Aren't you glad that Jesus made the sacrifice once and for all? But the commandments of the Lord, the ordinances, they're the authoritative source of guiding light for the faithful who seek His way. They're the source. They are our source. Look at Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter in the 1st verse. I'm going to read that to you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 6. Excuse me, 8, 1 and 2. I'll really have everybody messed up, won't I? All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto his father, to your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Did you hear that? Come on, he says, do what God says to do so you can live. and multiply and possess what God has promised you. Well, he's promised us a lot of things too. And he says, if you'll keep his commandments and do his will and walk in his way, then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. The statutes, the commandments, the way to live righteous are before you. Now do them and I will give you peace and joy, and I'll lead you into this land that I promised you, where I need you to go, where I want you to go. And if you'll remember the way of the Lord, how he led you, how many of you feel like you've went around the mountain several times lately? Haven't quite got to where you're supposed to go, but you're still traveling? He says, you'll do that, and remember how I've led you in the wilderness, and I did that to humble you. How many of us like that? You mean I'm going through this and I'm taking me this long to get to where I'm going so that God might humble me? Yes, you need to know that God's in control. He's in charge. He says so he might humble you to prove you. So you're going through some things and the trials are great. God is humbling you so that you know you're dependent upon him, and he's proving you. He's proven to himself that you are faithful, that you're going to remain faithful, that you're not going to quit on him in the middle of the battle. He's proven that you're going to continue to walk in, continue walking. I think of the song, you got to keep walking, keep on walking, walking in the light of the world, of the Lord. You'll get to heaven someday if you walk the right way, walking in the light of the Lord. I hadn't thought about that song in a long time. But that's what we need to do, keep walking, keep trusting God, and he's proven us. He says to know what's in your heart. You know, the Bible teaches us that God already knows our hearts, what's in our heart, the intents of our heart, what's in our mind. Isn't that just blows my mind. Every thought, every intent of my heart and everything I think, and I'm thinking, man, I'm in trouble. I know y'all don't think that way, but I do. I'm thinking, if God holds me accountable for every thought I've ever had, I am doomed. I am absolutely walking this walk for nothing. Because I've thought things I shouldn't think. I've said things I shouldn't say. I know I'm the only one. I can tell that by looking at you guys. And y'all don't believe this, but y'all, when I say stuff like that, all y'all's faces just go blank. And it's like a mule looking at a new gate and saying, I am not going to respond to that whatsoever. If I make any expression, he's going to know it hit me. So I'm just going to get blank. I'm just going to. Don't look. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact. We've all done things we're ashamed of. Probably if you live very much longer, you might do something else you're ashamed of. But aren't you glad for the mercy and the grace of God through Jesus Christ, who cleanses you from all unrighteousness? Who actually sees your heart and knows that your intent is pure. You may make a mistake now and then, but he knows your intent is pure. And you ask him to forgive you, and what's he do? He forgives you. I'm so glad for that. If it wasn't for that, I mean, you know, when I threw that bucket the other day, I mean, I'd be in trouble for that. That's after I did something that's dumber than a box, you know, that showed us dumber than a box of rocks. I took and threw something after that. It's like, I can't believe I done that. I was glad the bucket was empty so I didn't waste nothing that's in it. And I quit kicking stuff because that hurts. Y'all ain't never done that. Got mad, kick a tire or something. Oh, good grief, what'd I do that for? That brings you back to your senses. But God's commandments will show you the way. And Jesus is leading the way, church. We need to get our eyes on him. Look at Acts 26, verse 14. Paul had a revelation on the road to Damascus, and it says, right, Acts 26, verses 14 through 18, it says, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? Who are you, Lord? I mean, he just got knocked down and the bright light shining. He's blind, actually, at this point. He said, who are you, Lord? Well, Jesus said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles and unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. I've written 20:14-18, yeah. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Paul had a revelation on the road to Damascus about God. And boy, wouldn't that, you know, some people say, well, if I'd have a revelation like that, well, I'd serve God. You know what? We had some people here today that refused to come to, they had a revelation from God this morning, whether they want to admit it or not. No, there wasn't no bright light. No, they weren't blinded by God. And no, God didn't just speak to them personally in an audible voice and say, why are you pushing against me like that? But yet they had a revelation from God this morning that they needed to be born again. They didn't accept that. They didn't respond to that, but they had a revelation. But the proper response to God's commandment, and Paul had a commandment from God, and this is what I'm going to do to you. Stand up to your feet. I've appeared to you for a purpose, Paul. I'm going to save you to the uttermost so that you can go to the Gentiles, so that you can bring this message to those who need to hear so that they can receive forgiveness and have an inheritance also. And I'm going to give that inheritance to you. So the proper response to God's commandments is the fear of the Lord. Can you imagine how he must have felt when Jesus began to speak to him? This is one tough hombre. One tough hombre. Tougher than Paul Newman. You've seen that movie, haven't you? Hey, hombre! And he was tough. And he was wise. But he ended up dead. Paul had to die to self. Can you imagine the fear that come over him when he's knocked to his feet, a bright light shining, a voice speaking, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul's response, I can guarantee you, was fear. Fear. But he also was wise enough or even simple enough to recognize that this was God. This was a voice from heaven getting my attention, and he had reverential fear. He didn't take it for granted. He did not take it for granted. And he listened to what God had to say through Jesus Christ, and he responded. And he received freedom from a life of sin. God's commandments will bring us freedom from a life of sin. So I'm having trouble, Pastor, living for God. I'm struggling. Well, get into God's Word. Begin to obey God's rules. And He will release you from that struggle. It'll get easier and easier. And sweeter and sweeter. And fuller of joy. As you respond to God with fear. Reverential fear. Reverence of God as God. And begin to respond to his Lord. And this is the judgments of the Lord. Well, the verdict. Well, here's the verdict. For you, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're doing everything you can to follow the Word of God, here's the verdict. Not guilty. Not guilty by reason of the blood. Not guilty. I'm glad for that today, aren't you? The judgment of the Lord when you're at the end of your life's journey, one day will be not guilty. Well, who's your lawyer? Jesus said, I represent this defendant. And God will look at him and say, well then, not guilty. Aren't you looking forward to that time when he'll say, enter ye into the joys of the Lord? One of these days soon. We're going, but it's going to take us living for God with the best of our ability, with joy in our hearts, and a song. We ought to be singing that song, I'm Redeemed, I'm redeemed. But we are. And I'm glad for Jesus today, aren't you? I told you I wouldn't keep you long. I'm done. But I hope that was encouraging to you. Live for God. Live for God. Give Him your best. You can make it. You can make it. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet.